I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen, I think it's a great experience for the kids. They're young men, and they're very smart. They ask very, very pointed questions, and I think it's a great tradition. I commend Ted Lionel for 40 years of doing this. He started this program 40 years ago, and God bless him. This is a great program for St. Joe's. And I asked him if any other schools had ever tried to do it, and he said no. So I hope he keeps continuing it.
What about yourself? 8 months into acting DA, it's a lot different than when you're deputy DA. You're the guy in charge.
Yeah.
What have you learned in the last 8 months?
So, you know, it hasn't been that different, to be quite candid with you. You know, we've got dedicated public servants that have really been with me the entire time I've been back in the district attorney's office since 2017. You know, John and I did the hiring together. We did the personnel moves together. The leadership team that's in place is, you know, in large part, you know, my decision, John. We really worked as a team, he and I did. So the transition's been pretty seamless, quite honestly.
What about you personally, being the guy in charge?
Listen, you need to be a strong leader. This is a big office. We're making very important decisions. I think it's the most important office in the entire county, and you know, I'm ready for the task. You know, I learned under a great leader in John for 7+ years, and you know, it's an important job.
How harmful has that been your past DWI, and did you do this? Her photo is a mugshot. She doesn't seem to care that he's deceiving the public that this may have happened.
Yeah.
Is it harming your campaign?
I don't think it's harming my campaign at all. I think he's intentionally trying to deceive the public. I think most people see through it. You know, obviously I wouldn't be serving in this role if that had just happened the way he's presenting it. And it's, you know, it's deceptive. It's false. It's misleading. You know, the difference between this campaign, the Office of District Attorney, is that we are lawyers. We are under different rules and different obligations. We are not supposed to conduct ourselves in false and misleading ways. You know, and I think the public has seen through it.
Were you surprised it surfaced?
You mean today?
No, in the campaign. Were you surprised that something that happened 40 years ago surfaced?
No, you know what? I was made aware of it back in May. They did a poll about it, so I knew back in May that that it had surfaced.
Do you think this opened people's eyes to what really happened, and you know how we can move forward with all of this? That it's something that happened before you're even studying law. It wasn't really pertinent to that, but
yeah,
people could understand what really happened.
Well, sure. Listen, I think that, you know, because of the way they did the ad, they're suggesting that this just happened, okay? And I think, you know, when people hear that this was 40 years ago, I was a senior in college. You know, I hadn't even graduated from college yet. I went on to graduate from college. I then went and got my master's degree in business administration, and then I went to law school. So, I mean, it was 40 years ago. A lot of people identify with the issue, identify that you make mistakes when you're young, and if you are strong and you're willing to be resilient and you want to redeem yourself, you can do that. And quite frankly, I think I'm a great example of someone that took advantage of the, and made full use of the opportunity I was given to redeem myself.
Do you think that's why there's so many police agencies backing you up through this whole process?
No, listen, the police support came long before this ever surfaced. That we have great working relationships with the police departments. I've talked about this a lot on the campaign trail because we work together every day. They are on the ground floor. They are my partners in solving crime and in prosecuting people in Erie County. And we developed great working relationships. You know, one of the things that is maybe unknown is that the relationships between a lot of the police departments and the Erie County District Attorney's Office were broken back in 2016. John Flynn was the endorsed candidate of the vast majority of the police agencies as an outsider running against someone in the District Attorney's Office. And that was significant. That was because there was a problem. We fixed those relationships. I personally meet all the time with the chiefs of police in the towns and villages, with the commissioner of the Buffalo Police Department, with the Erie County Sheriff, and we also have relationships with all of the line officers and the organizations that represent them. And that's why they support me, because they trust me, they believe in me, we're working together. It's a long history, the last 8 years of working together to solve crime. That's why they support me.
Did it mean anything extra to have John here in attendance today to be at least here to see the debate?
Listen, John is a very close friend of mine, as well as being a great colleague, you know, and it was great to see him here. Yes.
Were you surprised how quickly at least one phase of the 514 shooter, the case was resolved, as you said, within 6 months? Were you surprised at the speed of that, given the complexity of that?
Yes, I was a little surprised, to be quite frank with you, because he pled guilty to the entire indictment. He pled guilty to a count that was the first time ever prosecuted in the history of this state, the domestic terrorism count, which the sentence for that is life in prison without parole. So I was a little surprised that he pled guilty, but the investigation was thorough. It was comprehensive. We had an incredible number of police officers and law enforcement agencies from the federal government to the state government to the county government and local police. And we dropped everything to work tirelessly for months and months to make sure that that investigation was buttoned up. So the case was extremely strong. And, you know, being able to resolve that case for the families within 6 months with a conviction and a life in prison without parole was really, I think, important to the families. It helped them at least get some closure in the legal system, even though obviously that tragedy is going to be with them for the rest of their lives, but at least they got closure in our legal system.
But were you surprised? I mean, sometimes petty larceny cases take months to resolve themselves.
Yes.
A heinous major crime.
Yes.
Resolved in 6 months.
Yeah, I mean, it is unusual, but again, you know, this community dropped everything to make sure that that case was investigated as well as could be, and we really put together an incredible case against him. He had nowhere to go.
Gardner mentioned that the plea deals that you were offered 40 years ago, if he was district attorney now, he would be offered that. Now, 40 years later, you're on the other side. Does that impact your decision at all? Did your past impact your decision?
You know what? It's just political posturing on his part. He doesn't know anything about the case, and he's trying to score political points. You know, the other charges were dismissed. There wasn't a plea deal. I pled to the non-criminal violation, driving while ability impaired. The other charges were dismissed. So Gardner's wrong, you know, and he's trying to use this for political fodder.
Would he face criminal charges? Because you said that they obtained it kind of, by mistake, but the court alerted him that it was released to him by accident. And could he be charged criminally for using something like that that he's not really supposed to have?
Yeah, I, you know what, I'm not going to comment on the potential ramifications of Mr. Gardner's conduct. Not at this time.
What are the voters saying to you when you're out campaigning?
You know, the voters like seeing us. They love seeing me. For a long time, they never had any idea who the district attorney was or what the district attorney did. And so they love the fact that we're there. You know, it's not just me that's out there. My entire office is out there, volunteering. We talk to people in the community all the time about what we do. And they love the fact that we're engaged. They talk to us about the issues that they're facing in their neighborhoods. They talk to us about things that we can't even help them with a lot of times. But it's important that we have these relationships because, you know what, they didn't know what we did. And a lot of them didn't trust us. You know, it's important that we work together. Public safety is everyone's concern, and it should be everybody pitching in to try to work on the problem.
With less than 2 weeks away from the election, for people out there who might put your name down on the ballot, what do you think they're voting for? For people who are going to vote for you, what do you believe they're voting for?
I think they're voting for competence. I think they're voting for experience. You know, they trust in the work that we've been doing in the district attorney's office. You know, John Flynn had a great reputation. I was his right hand for 7.5 years. And I think they're happy that we've done a good job. We work extremely well with our police department partners across this county. That's why they're all supporting me. So that's why I think the voters are voting for me.
Does it help that you have both private sector and public sector experience?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's because, you know, one of the things that it does is it gives you a different perspective. You know, when you're in one place doing one job all the time, you kind of have blinders on. You know, one of the things that we talked about today was we talked about discovery. You know, and it's a little complicated, but I'll try to explain it just quickly if I can. But, you know, DA's offices across this state were allowed to withhold the bulk of discovery, the bulk of evidence, until right before trial. So if you could indict somebody in January and the trial wasn't going to take place until the following January, you would not be obligated to turn over most of that material, most of that evidence, until right on the eve of trial, like 3 days before trial. In private sector, it doesn't work like that. You have to exchange your evidence, you have to exchange your discovery materials right away. So we went to open file discovery with some limitations, John and I did, because of our experience in the public sector or in the private sector. But we, of course, we protect witnesses who are potentially in danger, and we ask for protective orders from that material. But what the legislature did in 2020 when they passed the statute was they tied the discovery statute, the discovery obligations that we have, to the speedy trial clock. That's the problem, because we do not have enough time to comply with all of the discovery demands that we have on the 21,000 cases we have every year within 30 days. That's the real problem, and that's the thing that the legislature needs to address.
And obviously it's gone through a couple revisions since then.
On the discovery statute? Few, but you know, they need to keep working at it. It's like any statute. Anytime they change a statute, anytime they enact new legislation, there are going to be unintended consequences. There are going to be things that they didn't anticipate, and they really need to revisit some of it. You know, I am not one for political grandstanding. You know, you can't stand up here and criticize the state legislature and tell them, you know, say how horrible they're doing, and then try to go down there and have a conversation with them, because they're not going to listen to us. So we have these conversations. All 62 district attorneys across the state who are members of different parties. We work together on criminal justice issues. We work together on public safety issues, and political affiliation has nothing to do with it. We do not do our jobs based upon what member of a party we are.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.